Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 15th of June, 2015, the podcast that's in virtual surreality. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Charles Thomas. Charlie, welcome back to the podcast.
Ah, more of my rambling. Hopefully you guys enjoy it.
First, a joyous announcement. There will be no podcast for the next 2 weeks. No, that's not the joyous part. Shut up. No, the reason why is that on Monday, I'm getting married.
Woohoo! That's awesome, man. That's great.
So I'll be on my honeymoon on really the first vacation I've had in several years.
Enjoy it. Enjoy every fiber, my friend.
Oh, thank you, my friend. I will.
Vacations are very few and far between, so enjoy them.
Yeah, especially when you don't have any money.
I know about that, too. Hopefully that will change soon.
Hopefully. The things have to turn around here before too long.
Yeah.
Either that or it's all going to come crashing down. I don't know if we're looking at any middle ground anymore.
But I always have hope. You know, it's always darkest before the dawn and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Which is actually not true. It's always darkest at midnight. But anyway. Let's homunculate the news of the bogus. So we've got yet another hack. This time of the federal government's Office of Personnel Management, where the social security numbers and other personal information for over 4 million Americans was stolen. Now, we've covered hacks like this before, so I wouldn't ordinarily cover this one if it were just yet another hack and we were saying, you know, yet the same things over and over again and what needs to be done to prevent this. But then something came out about this that makes this so egregious, I think we really need to talk about it. And that's the fact that these hackers didn't crack any sort of database encryption because this information was not encrypted. Social security numbers, everything else just there in plain text, waiting to be grabbed by any enterprising hacker.
And people want to trust the government for, you know, for the health information and everything else because, you know, I'm waiting for the answer.
Yeah. Yeah, give the government your information. It'll be safe.
What? It just, as a layman, I see this and I'm like, how can you screw this up this badly?
Well, listen to what OPM Chief Information Officer Donna Seymour said about the encryption. Quote, it's new capabilities that we're building into our database. So encryption's a new thing.
Oh, really?
We just haven't had a chance to. It's like, wow.
Yeah, that's just perfect. You know.
But don't worry. They've announced what they're going to do. They're going to accelerate deployment of their new security tool known as Einstein 3 Accelerated.
Well, just because you name it Einstein, it's not going to be smart. So.
Well, the thing about it is, it's intrusion detection, which you need. It's a good thing, but it's kind of like saying, okay, someone broke in, so we're going to replace our security cameras with high-definition security cameras instead of putting locks on the doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is funny that none of the government, people inside the government, shouldn't they be hiring guys like from Anonymous or whatever, hackers?
They should be hiring security auditors out the wazoo.
Yeah.
It's not like they don't have the money for it.
Yeah, they have all the money, but it just seems to be more of a common sense. We see other private businesses do this all the time. Why can't the government's people who are smart and everything, why can't they hire them? I don't know why. Is it? We need more money. That will make people feel better, but not really do much.
And, of course, they're now trying to blame a major government for it. They're trying to say it's China doing this. When, why would China need a bunch of people's social security numbers? This sounds like more the kind of thing an independent hacker group would be going for.
Yeah, this is something probably for credit card fraud, stuff like that, to credit cards.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you know, there was no credit card information on here, I don't think. But, I mean, the thing is, they say, you know, keep looking at your credit card statement for charges you didn't make.
Yeah.
And look for those, like, little $1 or $2 charges, because that's what they do just when they're testing it to make sure it's a card. But the thing is, if you steal someone's name, address, and social security number, what you can do is apply for a new credit card and then start spending everything on the new credit card and messing up their credit. How are you going to check the statement of a credit card you don't know you have?
Exactly. So that's going to be a major problem when you have this private health information. You know, people looking at health records and and such. And when you have this huge, massive security leak, you have to wonder, what's the point?
Well, and also, we've been talking before about how the U.S. government, the U.K. government, how they want to get into everyone's encrypted transmissions and, like, just give us a golden key that will decrypt everyone's transmissions. You can trust us with that. Well, okay. No, we can't. We keep seeing that over and over again.
Yeah. And then next thing you know, some person in the government might do something stupid, might sell that key to some nefarious hacker group, and, well, next thing you know, oops, sorry.
Only takes a single leak. Just one single leak?
Yeah, it takes one leak.
Well, and also keep this in mind when they talk about having a national ID card. Yes, let's have a single database of everyone's information. I mean, this one was just current and former federal employees. You know, imagine if they had had the database like this of all 300 million of us.
Imagine that, boys and girls. All that information right there. Or any hacker can go and use, and your credit is destroyed. You can't get a house. You can't get a car. You're set back for 5-10 years or so, and you can't really do anything about it. You don't even know. Someone can set up another credit card in your account in your name, and you're like, well, what's going on? I never spent this money. I never got this account. It's going to be screwed. Why should we give these people who are have consistently failed more power?
Say, if you're tired of the promos in this podcast, well, the patrons got it early and with no ads or promos. Just go to patreon.bogosity.tv and donate at any level. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Back up sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.bogosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.bogosity.tv and get LastPass now. Okay, so we've been talking about the Silk Road trial, and we had some not-so-nice things to say about the judge, Catherine Forrest. Well, if you've said some not-very-nice things about Judge Forrest in online comments, you just might get hit with a subpoena. Reason.com did.
Yeah, poor, you know, that's why Dave Kyle's not on the podcast. He's probably serving, like, his 8 to 20 right now. So, you know, pray for him, people. But, honestly, this is something really scary, and you're going to go after online comments. I'm like, then you should be going after Reddit, 4chan, YouTube, Tumblr, Facebook, Twitter. Yeah, it will be an endless line of people who I've said some nasty things, some in jest, and some are just, you know, most people do that. We're human. I look at these comments saying it's judges like this who'd be taking our back and shot. I'm like, okay, you know, you say, hey, dude, calm down or something like that. But I don't want to send out police and everything else.
But, I mean, that's just being hyperbolic. That's not an actual threat.
Yeah.
But that's what they're saying. It's the U.S. Department of Justice using federal grand jury subpoenas against Reason.com, because these are posted anonymously. They want Reason.com to give them the identifying information so they can find out who these people are.
Yeah, but that's the thing about, I mean, I do a video review show, and I probably will say some things in comedy in my more hyperbolic statements. Do I gotta have to censor myself now? Is that gonna be, you know, monitored?
But it's funny to watch the thread of comments going on, because someone else said, why waste ammunition? Wood chippers get the message across clearly, you know, like that scene from Fargo. And he says, especially if you feed them in feet first.
Oh, goodness, please.
And someone else said, don't take them out back and shoot them. Shoot them out front on the steps of the courthouse. Someone else said, I hope there is a special place in hell reserved for that horrible woman.
Mm.
And then someone followed that up with, I prefer a hellish place on earth be reserved for her as well. And Someone else said, fuck that, I don't want to pay for her food and housing. Send her through the wood chipper.
Jeez. Wow.
So, I mean, none of these are actual threats. You know, it's just hyperbolic, you know, blowing off of steam.
Yeah, they got that stuff out, and they're going to move on. And you can waste the cops of FBI time going to these guys' houses and everything else saying, you really mean this stuff? No, not really. I'm sorry. And they'll just say, okay, bye. And you waste gas and everything else driving on there. Most often not. They probably don't have any weapons or any type of means. Heck, I don't think they even have a wood chipper or access to one.
Yeah. But they're saying that in this grand jury subpoena that it's a violation of Title 18 of the U.S. Code, Section 875, which deals with interstate threats. And if they're threats, then they could also violate Section 115A, which involves threatening federal judges.
Okay.
But, I mean, these things aren't in any way threats. They're pulling basically the same thing that the social justice warriors do. People who are blowing off steam, people who are doing ill wishes, and they go, oh no, I'm being threatened! You know, like, I forget which one it was. It might have been Brianna Wu, who was posting these supposed death threats, and they were things like, when you are dead, no one will remember you. You will leave this world having made no positive contributions. Things like that. Things that, you know, aren't even this bad. And she's going, these are death threats.
Yeah, honestly, I've been called worse. I mean, I'm a black guy on the internet, so trust me, you do get called worse things. But, you know, I always have to, you know what, just shake it off and you move on. This is when the internet is now becoming more and more mainstream. You know, this type of stuff is going to be coming up because they're not true threats.
Yeah, because they don't say who's going to take her out back and shoot her, when it's going to happen, a plan for grabbing her to take her out back. Take her out back of what? You know, the only thing you actually have mentioned that's anything tangible is a wood chipper. You know, I mean, it's just, these aren't threats.
Yeah, and most people wouldn't have access to a wood chipper, much less know how to use it. More often than not, they probably put themselves in a wood chipper trying to do anything else.
I mean, nothing's going to come from this, but just going through the process means that the federal government learns who they are. And I mean, think about this. If they can get it to where this sort of stuff is actionable, at least on a subpoena basis, I mean, think of how many millions and millions and millions of internet comments there are like that. We've all made comments like this in one form or another. There is absolutely no way they can police it all, which means they can police it at their discretion, which means, and this is the same kind of thing that Lord Hawkeye, Tim Dyson, keeps pointing out, if they want to find an excuse to go after you, all they have to do is find some comments like this you made and say, aha, see, this person has made death threats online, so we have to investigate him and we have to do all this, you know. It just opens the door wide for it.
It's witch hunting all over again. We're trying to find a witch and trying to find a person. Witch, you're a witch and everything. It's terrifying. But yet, I'm hopeful that this will not get these people, you know, find these people and try to ruin their lives, but I wouldn't be surprised if this happened. You know, wouldn't be surprised. They'll get their pound of flesh.
But, I mean, this is how it happens. You find a scapegoat, you know, that you can parade in front of everyone, like Ross Ulbricht, like Eric Corley before him. You get everyone who's out there commenting on it and say, oh, okay, we need his information. We need her information. We need all this, you know, information. That's how they do it.
Or Kim.com, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Omega Upload. Completely just shut down, and now I don't know what he's doing now, but he's actually fighting. I think he's winning cases and such. So,
well, he hasn't actually won the case, but he's at least got the resources cleared so he can use it to hire lawyers. And he's got mega.co.nz, I think it is, up and running, which is a new file sharing thing with end-to-end encryption. And he's also mentioned something called MegaNet. Not a whole lot of details, but it sounds like, instead of like using the Tor browser, which isn't as secret as we thought it was, somehow this is an encrypted dark network using something similar to the Bitcoin transaction system.
Cool.
So yeah, he's doing stuff. You can't keep a good hacker down.
And I wouldn't be surprised, well, I guarantee you, this is not a prediction from me. A year from now, you're going to hear that Kim.com not only wins this lawsuit and gets his charge scare, but he probably brings back Mega Upload in some form or another. That's what I feel like.
Well, he's already done that with Mega.
Yeah, so he's going to probably bring the name and everything else. So.
Yeah, but hopefully you're right about the court case. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide the means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. Well, if you thought it was ridiculous that the government could go after people making hyperbolic comments online, hold on to your hats for this. According to the federal government, it's actually a felony to, get this, clear your browser history.
Oh, that's just, you know, that's great because, you know, I've done that many a time because, you know, computers, drama and everything else, I had to clear my browser history.
Everyone does it. A lot of people have it, like, said there's an option in there, just clear it every time I close the browser.
Yeah, people do this all the time to clear up space or make sure things are working.
Well, that's usually, whenever you have a browser problem, that's usually step one in troubleshooting. Clear your cache, clear your history, restart your browser, try it again.
Yeah, and that's it. And I have no, what in the world is going on now? You can't really clear. I know what they're trying to do.
Well, what's going on is a law that everyone screamed for after the Enron scandal. We're talking about Sarbanes-Oxley, which is this huge mess of financial regulations that just makes the entire accounts payable system just a complete nightmare to do. Hasn't done one single thing to curb any corporate fraud, which is what it was supposed to do. But it's one of those things that they can look to whenever they want to just add on additional charges. Sort of like we were talking about with conspiracy with Ross Ulbricht. That's just something they stick on to have more charges. And so one of the things about Sarbanes-Oxley is that you have to keep any evidence that the federal government might want for a period of, I think it's 7 years. And if you fail to do so, this can result in felony criminal charges. Now, a couple of things to note about this. One, it doesn't have to be willful destruction. It could just be automatic, like you close your browser and it wipes your history. It forbids any destruction of evidence, regardless of personal knowledge of whether it's happening, or even if an investigation is happening or is going to happen. So even if you're not being investigated, you have no clue that you're going to be investigated about it. It still applies.
Yeah. And I understand what they're trying to do, saying, you know, you don't want people who are guilty criminals trying to erase evidence on computers and such. But you're basically casting a huge net on everybody who has ever, and I do mean ever, actually done this stuff just to clear history. I want to watch a video on YouTube or what Dave Scott does, I'm watching WWE Network or something like that where, you know, you have to clear your browser history to make sure that things work. So
even something like defragging your hard drive could count.
Yeah, that's insane. That is completely insane, and it's counteractive that we're actually, you know, again, it makes people so terrified, and you got a mess of broken computers, and not everybody's going to go and buy new computers. They're going to be like, okay, I'm going to go delete the browser history just so I can actually do these things, you know, on my computer and such. So They're stuck in this catch-22. They don't know what to do.
So let's talk about what's actually happening that led to this. And this had to do with the Boston Marathon bombings. There was this guy, Khairulozan Matanov, is how his name probably isn't pronounced, but never mind. But he was apparently friends with the bombers, and they were investigating him. And, of course, they're trying to go with all these charges, like he lied to the police when they questioned him and stuff like that, which is another nice little go-to they can use. That's what they actually got Martha Stewart on. They couldn't get her on insider trading because, one, they had no evidence of her insider trading, and two, that's not actually against the law anyway, so they got her for lying to the police.
Hey, if the government can do it, it's not a crime. Unless they're going to start arresting people in the United States government, which I doubt they will ever do.
But anyway, in the report, where they're talking about the things he did, they say, then Matanov went home and cleared his internet browser history. So that's a criminal act. And keep in mind, this is about Sarbanes-Oxley, but Matanov is not a financial institution. He's not even a corporation. He's an individual. So remember this next time you say, pass this law, stick it to the corporations, stick it to the corporations. Well, you're going to stick it to individuals too.
Exactly. It's a framing thing. They frame it as we're going to take down these evil corporations and everything else, but in reality, they're going to come and take you down. They're going to take the people you know down, and regardless of what you do or regardless of not what you do, is, you know, I love this argument saying that something that millions of people do every day, even utilize built-in opters in their browsers to dump it. Like you said, are you going to start arresting people for more victimless crimes? This is going to be it. I mean, screw them, the war on drugs. This is going to probably make people who are, you know, the private prison industry, they're going to be probably going on this more often.
Yeah, but I mean, this is just part of the trend where the federal government feels it's entitled to your life and your information, the Fourth Amendment notwithstanding.
Yeah, who cares about that? You know, who cares about that? Most people in this country don't even know what they barely know what the First Amendment is or the Second. They don't know about the Third, Fourth, Fifth, or Sixth, or Seventh, or Eighth, or Ninth. They don't know any of that stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, Sarbanes-Oxley has been on the books for 13 years and, again, hasn't done one single thing to curb corporate malfeasance. It's kind of one of the things where if it did, it probably wouldn't have passed, because let's face it, financial regulations are written by bankers for bankers. So, you know, this is what it's actually for, people.
Yep.
This is what they do. This is what they want. Again, look at what they want. Look at what happened. You know, if that's not intentional, then it's a nice little convenient coincidence for them.
And this is why people should be looking at what the bills say. They're saying this is going to help you. More often than not, it won't help you. It will hurt you badly. And not only that, it will hurt the people you care about badly. So you have to look inside these things, that these supposed laws that these rich guys signed the law, they're not going to make laws that go after them. They're going to go make laws that hurt the rest of us, the 99 or 98% or whatever you want to call us. That's what it is, people. And sadly, people just get swept up by the whole populist feeling of it.
Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been very satisfied with GoDaddy's services and their wonderful 24/7 customer support for over 10 years now. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or other service and get 35% off with the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet hosting. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. And now let's Carmichael this week's biggest bogon emitter. So after three stories of just sheer idiocy, you're probably wondering how we possibly found the biggest bogon emitter who topped that. Well, we did, and it's Lily Goldberg, and you'll never guess her reasons why there aren't more libertarian women. She says, quote, "There is a real problem that might prevent a lot of us who otherwise think libertarianism is awesome from openly saying so. No, it's not that libertarianism is predominantly masculine. The issue isn't the quantity of men in the movement, it's the quality. Because exceptions like Austin or Judd Weiss," Austin meaning Austin Peterson, so yeah, he's the exception, keep this in mind, "they suck. So much that asking why more women don't want to be libertarian is like asking why more women don't want to be strippers, but worse, because libertarian women aren't getting paid to get pawed and yapped at by oblivious users. The more libertarian a guy is, the more likely he is to be completely fucking incapable of acting like a sexual being. In other words, there aren't more libertarian women because libertarian men aren't fuckable."
Wow. So that's it. It's a completely unnecessary saying, oh, it's a sexual thing. Not because of policy, not because of any of principles, just because you can't find any men sexy. Seriously, it's not a dating club. It's a political movement.
Yeah, but I mean, pretty much every paragraph on this is about sex in some way.
I wonder how a libertarian girl feels about that.
I don't know. But, you know, talking about libertarian principles, quote, "I'd like to meet the guys who not only believe that, but act on it, because that sounds fucking hot. If you're the kind of guy who walks around making others respect your dominance, I'd give you my number and probably offer to sell you my body at a market rate. But these guys are fucking rare in the libertarian movement, and they tend to be on the more moderate Reason magazine side of things. The more pathetic ones are almost universally anarcho-capitalists. Yeah, basically, she says there aren't more libertarian women because libertarian men are unfuckable weirdos, and I think that says more about her than it does us.
Yeah, that's, you know, again, if you're going to join a movement just to find any, like, you know, man or female just to have sex with them, like, you gotta reexamine your principles. I mean, this is supposed to be a political party about change, regardless if you're independent, like myself, who are a libertarian or capitalism. It's not you find a date or anything else. It's like if you find you stick it under that, it's great. That's awesome. But it's the one main thing, the reason for a political party is like their principles, it's where the policies are, the way all these other type of, you know, other factors. And finding someone to fuck is probably on the real bottom end.
Yeah. So she also talks about, quote, ham planets and fedoras. What does it matter if someone wears a fedora?
What is this whole fedora, anti-fedora thing? I mean, what?
Is I it have this? A dream that one day people will be judged on the content of their character, not on their choice of haberdashery.
I mean, the fedora is cool. I mean, when I think of fedora, I don't think of the whole loser thing. I think about the detective stuff in the 1940s and 50s.
Fedoras are cool.
Yes.
Now, if she had said Trilby, I could have seen it, because Trilbies are an insult to all male heads everywhere. But I mean, check out things like she says the way guys should act. Quote, it's probably not these guys' fault. Observing them, you can just tell there's something wrong with them that makes them the ultimate lady boner killer. If you scream because you saw a spider, these guys will lecture you on how harmless common varieties of the household spider are, rather than taking the cue to stomp the thing and get chivalry points for being strong and fearless against a tiny little spider.
Yeah, that's how. But even though I would just take the spider out and, you know, part of me would step on it, but I'm probably like, okay, I'll just take the little paper under it and just take it outside and let it be a spider.
Mostly you can just leave them alone, because if you leave them alone, they'll build a web somewhere you can't see and catch all sorts of nasty insects you don't even know are there.
Yeah, and then you don't have to worry about it. So, again, someone who says probably, I guarantee you, it's a stereotype. Like, I'm against stereotypes, but yet she just does something stereotypical. Like, oh my goodness, a spider! Someone help me! I need a big, strong man! I'm like, seriously? My sister would probably, you know, take a spider and just squish it by her boot or what have you. She don't need no man like that. I don't understand that.
The weird thing is, I can't find anything at all about this Lily Goldberg character other than this article and the follow-up, which we'll cover in a minute. I don't see her in any searches on libertarian or anarcho-capitalist activism. She doesn't even have a picture of herself on her author page. Instead, she has a picture of Cersei Lannister. I'll leave you to conclude what that means.
Oh, Lannister. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Queen Regent. So anyway, she gets lambasted on this from all corners. And in response, she writes this other article, which she says, in numerous places throughout the article, beginning, middle, and end, and even in the title, I still won't sleep with you.
Wow. Get over yourself. Seriously. It's
yeah. So she says, quote, I have transgressed on the altar of truth and must be punished with 1,000 lashes administered by a firm right hand strengthened by years of looking at porn. And she talks about how they, quote, were right to silence me. So again, criticizing someone is the same as silencing them. I beg forgiveness of the stern authorities on anti-authoritarianism who rightfully denounced my fallacious and improper reasoning and cast me to the outer darkness where there is misandry and grinding of hips. Okay, no response to how people actually said her reasoning was fallacious. Just screeds like this.
That's insane to me. That's a bit what, you know, the Ku Klux Klan, people who do that type of stuff. You don't want to be in that type of group. I mean, these movements and such, called fringe movements, and you probably find some who are, you know, what to describe, loser guys or everything else. You're always going to find them.
Sure, and the smaller a group is, the more fringe it is, the greater proportion of these guys are going to be. I mean, reasonable people expect that.
Exactly, but to say every single person in this group is this fat, overweight loser who barely can know how to talk to a woman, much less, you know, have sex with her or anything else, it just makes no sense. I mean, you're getting married, man. I mean, I think.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, she mentions a lot of these commenters by name, and they're pretty big names in libertarianism. She says, thank you, Stephen Kinsella. Thank you, Thomas L. Knapp. Thank you, Christopher Lurie. I am forever in your debt, but I still won't sleep with you. Well, maybe they don't want you to, you self-absorbed narcissist.
I don't understand this.
And I know Thomas Knapp is married to Tamara Milley, who I supported for the vice presidential nomination in 2004. She didn't win. Less said about that, the better, if you ask me. But I don't know when they got married, but I know they're still married today. So that's at least 11 years. That's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah. I love the fact you got Christopher Cantwell.
Yeah.
Page and such.
You know. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. But, I mean, as for me, there's only one woman I want to sleep with, and I am sleeping with her, and we're getting married Monday, thank you very much. So no, I don't want to sleep with you. I don't care if you look like the best parts of Angelina Jolie and Felicia Day put together. I still wouldn't want to sleep with you. So get over yourself, you self-centered egomaniac.
But yeah, again, it's just projection. There's a lot of projection here.
So that has to make this Lily Goldberg character, whoever she is, this week's biggest bogonimeter. If you're on the Wi-Fi in a coffee shop or hotel, anyone on that network can get your traffic. Do you really trust all of those strangers? For that matter, do you really trust your ISP? A VPN can protect you from prying eyes, disguise your location, and even foil government censors. It's essential in this day and age. So go to vpn.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to BoxPN. Starting at just $2.99 a month, you can get unlimited high-speed connections to VPN servers all over the world. And they don't log connections, so your privacy is assured. Traveling abroad, just VPN home, and don't worry about what those other governments are doing. Back at home, stop your ISP from traffic shaping and messing with the quality internet access you're paying good money for. You can connect from multiple machines at once, including your smartphone or tablet, and it supports all the secure standards, including OpenVPN and SSTP. Bypass sensors and surveillance with your own secure VPN connection. Go to vpn.bogosity.tv. And now it's time to deodorize this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire.
And this week it goes to Bernie Sanders, who took Biggest Bogonimeter 2 years ago for his idiotic remarks about the Citizens United case. It was just a matter of time before he took the big one, which he has done with his insane comments that children are starving due to, get this, deodorant.
Wow. So my Old Spice is making kids starve. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Bernie.
You're a horrible person, Charlie. You're absolutely horrible. Think about the children.
I like Bernie sometimes. I think he makes some good points, but sometimes, you know, just, you know.
About as often as a blind squirrel finds a nut.
But again, it's just, when you look at this article, I'm like, Bernie, come on, man. You're not making a good case for you. You're not making a good case for president.
So this is what he told CNBC's John Harwood, quote, if 99% of all the new income goes to the top 1%, it doesn't. You could triple it. It wouldn't matter much to the average middle class person. The whole size of the economy and the GDP doesn't matter. If people continue to work longer hours for low wages, they aren't. And you have 45 million people living in poverty, you don't. You can't just continue growth for the sake of growth in a world which we are struggling with climate change and all kinds of environmental problems, all right? You don't necessarily need a choice of 23 underarm spray deodorants or 18 different pairs of sneakers when children are hungry in this country.
Really? I mean, I can't have deodorant or any type of thing that'll keep my shoes, buying the shoes or whatever. To keep my feet warm. I can't do that because there are kids starving.
Nope, we have to take away people's choices.
Yeah, less choice. That's always works, you know.
Yeah, that's a great way to grow the economy, less choice. Now, this Washington Post article does a good job of making good comparisons. Like, for example, we spend about 36% less on deodorant and other personal hygiene products than Americans did half a century ago as a percentage of the income. Because the price of these things is rising less than inflation. Again, it's inflation that keeps eating everything up.
Yeah, and inflation, and this is going to continue unless we, someone with common sense gets in some power, which sadly seems will probably never happen because, you know, populist rule, just say some nice things and people like you.
So in 1959, Americans spent 8% of their income on apparel and footwear. In 2009, that was down to 3.2%. And food is the most dramatic drop. 19.4% of income in 1959 to 7.8% in 2009. All this stuff is getting cheaper and easier to afford.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Cheaper and easier food, that means people who are on the poverty line can afford it. Deodorant, brighter hygiene, so they can probably go to better jobs, better this. They walk around with some air of confidence, which is always a good thing.
And even if you go with like, oh, well, the government should give food stamps to these people. Well, food stamps are given in like so many dollars a month. This means that those food stamp dollars go further.
Yeah. So, again, this is always a good thing. We can always have more choice, more chances for people to grow and get out of poverty. For the most part, you get your deodorant and food are cheaper than they were years and years ago. And now, I don't know what Bernie Sanders is doing, saying that, oh, we have to, you know, have less choice or something. No, you need to have more choice. And the more, again, more deodorant and more, you know, food or more choices in this country will be better for overall. It doesn't make any sense to me.
And they point out that what's actually consumed the greater portion of our income over the last 50 years are housing, financial services, and healthcare, which are pretty much the three most heavily regulated industries in the country.
More regulation, Shane, makes more sense.
Yeah, I guess if all of a sudden we start regulating the deodorant companies, then everything will just start turning around right then.
And my Old Spice just jumped from $2 to now $40. Thanks, Bernie. The best way to handle starvation in the United States is to have more choice, have more economic freedom in those communities.
Well, no one's actually starving in this country. They're going hungry, they're missing meals, but that's different from starving. You don't really have anyone starving.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, though, Shane. Kids should not be going, you know, school hungry or anything else. It should not, because, you know, again, I think most people say if you have a hungry stomach, you're not going to really learn it.
Yeah. I like what Tim Slagle pointed out one time. If we actually had a problem with starvation in this country, you would not see homeless people in the park feeding breadcrumbs to the birds. You would see them cooking the birds.
Yeah. Well, one thing to say, Bernie Sanders, you deserve to be idiot extraordinaire because you cannot honestly think that if you use deodorants and sneakers, you'll cut them down will equal children not being hungry anymore. The math does not add up. So, you know, minus sneakers, minus deodorant will not equal less hungry children.
So all of that makes Bernie Sanders this week's
idiot extraordinaire.
Well, that wraps up this commercial sign edition of the Bogosity Podcast. As always, you can come to forum.bogosity.tv to read the show notes and join the discussion. This podcast depends on you to keep going, so please donate using the links on the website or at patreon.bogosity.tv, and feel free to join in by sending a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. You can even stick in an audio file if you want. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Charles Thomas for joining me.
No problem.
Until next time, here's a quote from Stephen Molyneux. When poverty declines, the need for government declines, which is why expecting government to solve poverty is like expecting a tobacco company to mount an aggressive anti-smoking campaign. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License.
Bogosity.
Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not. Based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
You know, I have something. Another little quote from the late, great Dusty Rhodes. He says, if you have a walk behind the view never changes, baby. The view never changes.
And objects are closer than they appear.
All right.
We lost him this week. We lost Christopher Lee. There was someone else.
Yeah,
we
Dusty
lost.
Rose, Christopher Lee. I think Moody.
Ron Moody. Yeah.
So many people we lost on this week. Dang, that's depressing.